Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I used to offer friends rides to the airport just so I could play my music for them because I was so desperate for anyone to listen to my music. So if people are voluntarily listening and then writing negative reviews, I'm just like, oh my God, I didn't have to go to the airport for this.
That's Matt Farley. And if you've listened to our show before, you might not know it, but you've heard him sing. He's the one who made our theme song. But you've actually been missing out on the other half of that song.
If you've wanted yet feared to do work that is weird, this is the show you just need to hear, where it is revealed how people got into a field that very much appealed to them, you know, following your passion and all that, you know, blazing your own trail. They finished with success because they kept on trying each time they failed. Let's listen to them speak about their jobs, which are quite unique. Weird work.
Matt isn't a regular musician. Matt just might be the most prolific musician to have ever lived. He sings about everything. Apologies, old people, poop, conspiracy theories. He has a few albums where he just sings people's names over and over again. When Matt's not recording thousands of songs, he makes movies, podcasts, and a whole lot more. My producers and I visited Matt on the North Shore of Massachusetts, my home turf, and we went down to his basement studio to talk about his work.
I'm just hanging out, so.
All right, we good?
Yeah.
All right, let's get into this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, Matt, first question.
Yes.
How many songs do you think you've produced at this point?
I've released 18,728.
Over how long a period?
I started releasing stuff in 2004, but the bulk of it has been since 07, 08, you know, like 17,000 of them at least since then. Yeah.
So who helps you make these songs? What's your team look like?
I mean, the songs are mostly me. Just every once in a while, I'll kind of bring back friends from high school and college and be like, all right, guys, we're making an album, you know? And and they always comply, which is great, you know? They're just like okay. I can't collaborate with anyone that haven't known like 25 years for some reason, you know?
It's a bare minimum of like a short lifetime.
Yeah, because it's like... A shorthand that you develop, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's real hard to try to create something with someone you're not super comfortable with. And friends and family for the movies. There's a guy, Charlie Roxburg from Connecticut. We went to college together, and we make the movies every few years. We would do it all the time, but it's expensive and time-consuming. You know, the reviews are usually negative.
Do you get a lot of hate on the internet for your movies?
Most people don't care enough to give us hate. Yeah, but just the reviews are just like, do they know how bad they are? And we're like, yeah, we know. It's half the fun, you know?
Well, yeah, I've done a couple of these interviews now, and I've learned, like, the internet's generally a horrible place.
Yeah, yeah. I get sad for a minute, but then it's like, hey, someone's talking about us. This is amazing. I used to offer friends rides to the airport just so I could play my music for them because I was so desperate for anyone to listen to my music. So if people are voluntarily listening and then writing negative reviews, I'm just like, oh my God, I didn't have to go to the airport for this.
So it saved one trip to the
yes.
airport. Did you get any negative reviews on the way to the airport?
Oh yeah. Sometimes they would turn it down. They without even thinking, they would just reach to the knob and turn it down, and just my heart would sink.
Would you tell them it's you? Or
oh, they knew. Of course they knew. Yeah, it's part of the deal.
So let's get into the music a little bit more. What does your day look like?
The days that I make music, yeah, I'm usually down here, around, give or take, 8 a.m., if I have custom songs to do, I'll do those. And if I don't, then I'll work on an album. I'm currently working on a congratulations album that each song commemorates a life event. So I did like congratulations on being born, congratulations on your first step, first words. So I have this list here. I'm just going to work on going out on a date, making the team, potty trained, getting married, getting divorced, getting married again.
So each one of those is a unique song.
Yeah. Isn't that hilarious? I just want to imagine someone on Spotify being like, wait, I can't believe someone bothered to do this. And each song is an actual song.
So how long does it take to write one of these songs?
Between 10 minutes and an hour and a half, depending on how involved, you know, am I going to have backing vocals? Am I going to have, multiple instruments, et cetera? And I try to push myself. It's like, come on, add drums to this track. But sometimes I'm just like, all right. Getting married for the second time, that doesn't deserve drums, you know?
Getting married for the first time, sick drum beat. Getting married the second time, Sorry. It's just a lonely piano, baby.
Yeah. We already gave you presents the first time, you know?
Less exciting congratulations songs. So, like, what are some of the other categories of songs that you've made?
Other categories? Songs about food, songs about animals, name songs. I have one artist called The Guy Who Sings Your Name Over and Over Again. 1,800 names that I just sat here. I would just press the button. It's the same music track for that one. Bobby, 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 Bobby. You know, sing that for a minute and 10 seconds and then move on to the next one and just say, what? I'm barely successful now. Like, I was doing this. I still had the day job, you know. People would say, like, do you want to come to the movies with us? And I'd be like, no. I'm going to sit at home and sing Bobby's name over and over again, you know? So you really question what are you doing with your life when, or at least I do when I was down there. So yeah, name songs and, you know, poop is by far the most popular.
That's the most lucrative one.
I have two poop artists. I have the Toilet Bowl Cleaners, and I also have the Odd Man who sings about poop, puke, and pee. They're fighting against each other for the poop song market, but the beauty is I'm both of them, so I win either way.
Okay, so you have multiple bands.
Yes.
Or multiple pseudonyms.
Yes.
How many roughly do you think you have?
Like 70, 72-ish. I haven't counted recently, but yeah.
You have about, okay, and they get into beef with each other?
They have beefs with, I mean, they compete. I have two birthday bands. It's funny to, like, when you hear about corporations that do that, you know, they have, like, the same parent company owns, you know, two competing products. It's just funny to do that on this, like, insane micro scale. But yeah, they have beefs with each other. They have beefs with Moturn Media, too, because I push them so hard that they usually break.
So you're like the evil record label sometimes,
yeah,
as well?
The Singing Animal Lover, he snapped at one point and put out a whole album in which he criticized me throughout the most of the album. And I'm down here singing these songs where I'm saying bad things about me and laughing so hard. And also, who's going to listen? Why am I doing this? Who's going to listen to this? So now, and of course, because I don't use my own name, if you search Matt Farley, one of the only things that comes up is a song called Matt Farley is a Thief and a Liar and a Jerk. And it's me as a singing animal lover singing about Matt Farley. Oh my God.
so you do derive a decent amount of amusement out of these songs yourself.
Oh yeah, I love it. So yeah. So when people say I'm a heartless spam artist, I'm like, nobody would do this if they didn't love it so much. I love it so much. I'm having the time of my life. I think I'm creating like brilliant art, you know? And then there's a recent headline was this man is cheating the system with my picture under the headline. I was like, what? What are you talking about? I'm a genius.
Why do people think you're cheating the system? And what system are you cheating?
They think I'm cheating the streaming system by making lots of songs that earn me money. But it's like, look, you only think it's cheating if your concept of creativity is very narrow. You know, most people just think, oh, a songwriter goes off into the fields, you know, and is inspired by the nature and spends months, like, slaving over like,
crafting.
Crafting the melody and the lyrics. And in reality, they're just hanging out, you know? And then they spend like, they're only spending, if I don't know how much time Bob Dylan spends on them, but frankly, I think you can just write them, just write it, just force yourself to write is my approach. But that kills the myth. So when you hear that, people say, well, it can't possibly be good. And then if they dig deep enough into my archives, they'll find plenty of bad songs that reinforce those beliefs.
So people are just like upset about the volume of music you're creating, not like how much.
Yeah.
Or how much time you're spending on it, or,
right.
Or are they listening to the songs, or they're just like, this dude produces a shit ton of songs.
Therefore, it must be bad.
Therefore, it's got to be crap songs.
And then they play the song where I sing Bobby over and over again, and they're like, well, clearly, this guy is not an artist. And it's like, well, you can sing Bobby over and over again, and you can also write like a good love song, you know?
Are there songs that you're like particularly proud of?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I had a whole band called Moe's Haven. It was me and my friend Tom Scalzo from college, and we put out 25 albums. And we thought and think we're as good as Van Morrison and Bob Dylan, writing these great songs, you know. But then we'd get a little silly, you know, because we were big into marathon recording sessions. Let's come over and spend the whole weekend recording songs. So we write these great heartfelt songs. A song called Dig In, I'm really proud of that one. It's just like a good acoustic, I don't know how to describe it. It's good.
Love song of sorts.
Yeah, like a love song. But then we'd get silly and sing a song called My Goldfish Is Dead, you know? It's actually called My Goldfish Dead. And then what sells, you know? Not the love song, the dead goldfish song, though. That's our most popular song.
so it's like you're out there, everybody's like, oh, you know, you might be spamming, you're creating a bunch of shit songs.
Yes.
But it's the ones that are like names repeated over and over again.
Those are the only ones that sell.
and the poop songs are like your top-notch one.
Yeah, I mean, they're most popular, and I'm putting some good, you know, I'm putting enough effort into them, but no one's interested in the straightforward songs. If you want to make it with straightforward music, you have to, like, what does Taylor Swift do? She just, like, inundates the world with her new album. She just, like, force feeds it to everybody until you just snap one day and you're just like, you know, shake it off. You know, you just can't help it. You just suddenly love that song. So I don't have the ability to do that. So I just got to find, you know, do all this wacky stuff to get noticed. And slowly but surely, I'm leading people to the quote-unquote better songs.
So you're not doing the Taylor Swift strategy.
This is not her strategy.
You're not like blacking out your like Twitter, making huge announcements about new songs coming out.
It's like I feel a little rage when they're like, "Ooh, a new album from Taylor." Oh, like, you know, 3 years after the last one. I'm like, I've released 37 albums since then. Oh my God.
Are you thinking about like starting some beef? She's really good at like starting beef with other artists.
Yeah.
Are you going to start beef with somebody?
I feel it would be clear that I'm just trying to leech off her popularity. Not that that stopped me in the past.
So what is, like, do people think you're making like clickbait titles and then writing the songs?
Yeah, well, I am also, but
people think that, and that's true.
but the songs have a certain je ne sais quoi that's quite enjoyable, if you ask me.
Yeah, let's dive into the je ne sais quoi.
Okay.
Yeah, what do you think? What do you think is the like je ne sais quoi of your music?
Oh, now I'm on the spot. You know what I like? I like the feeling when you're exposed to a work of art, that feeling that when you say, I can't believe this exists. You know that feeling? Have you ever seen The Room? Tommy Wiseau's movie, The Room?
Oh, the like recorded worst movie ever.
Yeah, you're watching it and you're just like, oh my God, I can't believe this exists. They made the entire movie. Oh my God. And so some of my songs are like the musical equivalent of that. You're just like, wait, why would anyone do this? I don't, like, I would think that you listen to some of these songs, it just blows your mind. Like, who would write a song about every contributor to This American Life? That's insane. And
you would.
I would.
So what is, like, where do you see this going? Like, Bigger productions, bigger
plans,
hit a million songs.
Yeah, I mean, I want all those things, but I mean, ultimately, if I can live a middle class life, making music, and afford to lose a few $1,000s every couple of years making a movie, that's success to me. Don't get me wrong. Of course, I'll try out $1 million, but here's to, you know, let's have lower expectations. Should a song make you enough money that you can live, have multiple houses across the country? I don't know. It's just a song, you know? I'm super happy if I get no better than this. This is so good.
If, like, hypothetically, let's say, like, Interscope Records rolls up on you, knocks on the door, and is like, contract, you want to work for us? would you be interested in that? Or you try to keep independent?
I mean, I don't even know what are they going to do. I don't know what they're going to do for me. You know, like what you want to release the This American Life album? I don't think that's going to work. So I don't know. You know, I wouldn't close the door. Interscope. My number is 603-644-0048. But, you know, I'll talk. I'll hear what they have to say.
And you just gave out your real phone number, correct?
Which is in hundreds of songs.
I
actually sing the number in countless songs.
And do you get a lot of people calling you?
Yes. Yeah.
Are they wondering if it's real? Do they just want to talk?
It's always, I say hello, and then you hear silence, maybe some giggling in the background. And I have to be like, hello, hello. And they say, who is this? And I say, did you hear my number in a song? And they're like, oh my God, it's him. It's really him. And then everyone starts laughing. So, yeah, I'm like a lot of, like, teenagers' Friday night activities is to call the weird guy who sings his phone number. It's great. I'm watching a movie with my wife. I have to pause it. I'm like, sorry, I got some fans calling. You know?
So you take all the calls that come in.
She makes me turn it off when we go to bed. But I would totally, otherwise I would keep the phone on and answer at 3 a.m.
just to talk to who's ever looking to get in touch with you.
Yeah. Just, you know, shock them that I answered, you know, and then be like, hey, check out the official Moturn Media playlist on Spotify. It's great. It's rarely more than one a day. You know, weekends are a little more busy, but I love it. It's fantastic. And I don't, you know, what's the worst that can happen? The worst that can happen is I get so many phone calls, I need to get another phone. And if I'm getting that many phone calls, I'm probably earning a good amount of money, you know?
So phone calls are a good barometer of how you're doing.
I think so. Yeah, I think so. They keep on growing.
So I want to talk a little bit about Spotify, iTunes, streaming services, things like that. Are you dependent on those services for this model of music to work?
Yeah. If they went away, but something would replace them, of course. I mean, frankly, I was making more money when it was just MP3s versus streaming. Even with more songs now than I had, say, 3 or 4 years ago, I'm making less money. You know, it was going up through until streaming happened. Then it went down. Now it's going up again a little bit. But I'm okay with that, too, because I think music was overpriced prior to streaming, you know?
So you're not with Taylor Swift on this issue of, like, streaming services are ruining musicians.
No. Okay. Artists who lament the death of the music industry are lamenting, like, what, the 1990s, when you put out one hit song, okay? And you put it on a CD with 12 other songs. We don't even get to listen to them in many cases. We're just like, I like that one hit song. If I want it, I have to buy the CD for anywhere from $10 to $20. That's crazy. That's terrible. So I think the music industry was ripping people off from its inception until a few years ago. Now, for $10 a month, you can stream anything. That's perfect. I used to spend so much more than $10 a month on CDs. You know, I would go to the records. I would spend $50 a month on CDs, and I'd only get to listen to those. And so many of them, I only listened a couple times because they were bad. You know, people are very short-sighted. The Spotify rewards good songs. If you make a song that's good enough that people listen a lot, you'll actually earn more from that song than you would from just a 99-cent download, you know, over the course of years, you know, per person. Say you write a song that's really good in 2008, someone downloads it for 99 cents. That's it. That's all you're going to get. And you end up getting like 60, 65 of those 99 cents. versus, say, you write a song that someone listens to, you know, 50 times a year for the next 10 years. I can do the math real quick. But so 500, let's hope my numbers are right, 500 times approximately half a penny. Boom, you earned $2.50 off that track over the course of a decade.
So you went from 65 cents...
to 250.
To 250.
It just took 10 years.
Just took a while.
Yeah, but I don't know. I think that's fair. I think it's fair. I side with the consumer because, you know, I feel like I'm still one, you know?
Yeah, because, I don't know, I feel like everybody's like, I just can't make music on these streaming services. It's just not worth it. And it seems like those are also really rich people who are saying that.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I read an interview with Van Dyke Parks. He was the lyricist with the Beach Boys for one of their albums. His article began, in 1972, I wrote lyrics for a Ringo Starr song, and it earned me enough to build a pool in my backyard. And it went on to talk about how terrible life is because of streaming. And it's like, you wrote one little song and it got you a pool? That's ridiculous. You were so grossly overpaid and so incredibly lucky. Stop whining. Oh my God. This is ridiculous.
They would have to work so long, to your point of like time on a song versus like payout to it. They would have to work for like at least a year on one song lyrics. To make enough money to justify a pool.
Oh, I know. Yeah, were you slaving away 40 hours a week on that one song? I don't think so. You just went da-da-da-da-da, just write some words. It doesn't even matter. Most people listen to songs and don't even know what the songs are about.
And do you think other people are starting to do what you're doing?
Yeah, but I don't want to get too much on my high horse, but it's like after a week, most people would quit because they'd be like, this is crazy.
Because they're just saying the same name over and over again.
Either I'm saying the same name over and over again, or I'm writing, you know, I just wrote a song about an ostrich, and now I'm going to do a song about a fox, and this is insane. And, you know, again, forgive me for bragging, but it's like most people would be burned out really quickly coming up with lyrics or melodies and just start watching TV. So, and the pay's not that great, you know. $20,000 a year is what I'm bringing in from all these streaming sites, which is great and amazing, but I mean, it's not,
you're like barely minimum wage. Yeah, you're like waking up at 8 a.m. and just churning out songs all day.
Yeah, but because of these songs, I've gotten a bunch of custom song orders, which I make even more money off that, you know, so that's big.
So what are some of the custom songs you've done?
Luckily, Reply All, those guys, will use me every once in a while, and so that's like a free ad for me every time they use my song. It's great. They're like, do you want us to pay you? I was like, no, just say my name again. And then the next week I get 40 custom song requests. And they're usually birthday songs, anniversary songs, wedding songs.
Any particular favorites that stand out to you?
There's a guy who was put into a medically induced coma for 2 weeks, and his friends had me write a song welcoming him back from it and telling him what had happened in the world over the last 2 weeks.
which, out of curiosity, which 2 weeks were those? Do you remember?
It was the week that LeBron James went back to the Cavs. So that would be like July of 2014-ish or 30. I don't even, one of those. Yeah, July of 2014, I think. Yeah.
So that was a big topic of the song.
I ended up talking to him. He confessed he's not a sports fan. I was like, oh well. That's fun. Then there's weird, other funny thing. Amateur sports teams, not even amateur, just like teams that, like the rec team in the town, they want their own anthem, you know? So I'll write an anthem about the team.
In the custom songs, like anthems, party songs, dance songs, is there a favorite for you to write?
I like it if it's super silly. That's easy. When I'm trying to do the mix of some jokes but some sentiment, that's a little tougher. But also super serious is easier too. So like if I have to do just a love song for someone's fifth wedding anniversary, you know, it's like, all right, tell me the history of your relationship and I'll make a song out of it. I feel comfortable doing that. It's daunting at times, you know. Here I am putting this couple's relationship to music. This is a big responsibility, but people seem to like it. Last year I did 600 of them, you know. And I don't count that towards my song total either. So the song total is even higher.
Wait, what? Our song total, you were at like, what is it?
18,728.
You could be over 20,000 songs by now?
Yeah. Yes.
How do you keep the creativity going?
Well, it's like, I think it's like running a marathon. If you just try to run a marathon, you might not finish it. But, if you run for a few weeks, 10 miles and so on, then before you know it, a marathon, you don't even think twice about it. Likewise, creative energy. It takes you a day to write one song and you're exhausted. And then 3 weeks later, you're writing three songs in a day and you're a little bit less tired and then on and on. I think. I don't know.
Have you ever hit a period of like burnout?
Yeah, I hit lots of periods where I'm not feeling it, but then I just continue to write anyway. It works for me. That's how I deal with writer's block or anything else. Just keep writing. As I'm writing, I'm like, this stinks. I don't even like this. But I do it and I finish it because I think it's a bad habit. The habit of not finishing something is very, can really snowball to the point where you have tons of half finished work. So I hate this song. Let me repeat the chorus a few more times anyway, and then fade out and then move on. And then, you know, what's amazing. Then I get like a tweet. Hey, I really loved such and such a song. I'm like, what? I thought that was my worst. And the ones I think are great, oftentimes no one's commenting on them. So I'm a bad judge. So just keep writing and let the people decide.
So I know you're on a quest to make $1 million through World Motard Day.
Yeah.
Which just happened. Can you explain what that is?
So World Motard Day started where it's, I have a playlist with about 8 hours of my songs. I think it's like 240 of them. And the goal is to get 1 million people to listen to it. And because of how many songs there are, I'll earn about $1 for everyone who streams all 8 hours. So let's get 1 million people to stream it. It's not happening. It's happened 3 years straight. It's very slowly growing, you know, but I get like 300 to 500 people to do it, which is amazing. Again, I used to drive to the airport to force people to listen.
Huge come up from that point.
And now in addition to that, we have the World Motown Day Extravaganza, which is a 5.5-hour concert here in Danvers. So it's just like, let's have one day where I really just promote myself so much and a little build up. And how cool would it be if everyone in the world listened to me all day?
That'd be great. And I earn
a lot of money. Oh.
What would you do with your million?
Oh, just put it in the bank and continue living like I'm living. Just make more movies.
You're not getting the pool? You're not putting the pool in the back?
You know, my wife wants a pool, actually, so I might have to get the pool.
A pool,
the rest of the money is going into the bank until the next World Motown Day. But I mean, all I want to do with money is make more creative stuff. You know, the only reason I want money besides, you know, the basics is, good. Now we can have like an explosion scene in the next movie, you know, stuff like that.
Is that the goal? Like just get a big explosion in at least one movie?
I mean, I don't love explosions necessarily, but yeah, each time we want the movie to be better. I mean, but ultimately, it's like, give me the middle class life. If I can have middle class life making music, I won. Anything else is gravy. If I get it, I'll be incredibly lucky, and I hope I don't turn into one of these head in the cloud superstars who drive me nuts.
Well, I hope you're not soon making millions and then writing articles about how Spotify's fucking you over.
I highly doubt it, but hey, I'll give it a try. Yeah, I'll take the millions and see what happens.
Yeah, so let's get Matt's $1 million so we can see how this works out.
Thanks.
And a pool.
Thank you.
Matt, just want to say thank you so much for being on the show. Really appreciate you taking the time today. It was awesome talking to you.
I had a blast. Thank you.
Yellow, this is Sam again. If this is the first time you've heard the show, please subscribe. I'm not about to get fired, but it's definitely on the table if people aren't listening. I also want to read you a review we got that I've been thinking about. Quote, I love this podcast. Truly fun and fascinating. People are so creative. The thing is, the user who sent us this goes by Tiger Racing, and I have so many questions. Tiger Racing, do you use tigers to race? Do you race tigers? Are you faster than a tiger? Is it something else? If you are a tiger racer or you know someone else with a weird job, please, please send me an email at hello@weirdworkpodcast.com. You might even end up on the show. All right, finally, I'm going to play us out with a song that Matt wrote just for this interview. Enjoy, and see you next week.
I love talking about myself. So when Sam came over and he wanted to talk to me, I was like, yeah, of course I will. And we sat in the basement and talked about me for not as long as I wanted to, but I'll take it. Yeah, I'll take it. Weird work is something that I do. Weird work is something that I want to tell you. Yeah.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.